everyone, it's Allison here to announce that I have officially opened a relationship coaching business. That's right, I now am seeing individuals and couples for sessions where we work through our relationship issues, our thoughts around dating, how to better communicate with our partners, all with a real mental health focused framing. So if you're interested in booking a session or learning more, please go to my website, allisonraskin.com/coaching, or email me at raskincoaching@gmail.com. Welcome back to Too Long Did Read It, everyone's favorite examination, inquiry, study, inspection, exploration, consideration of all things Reddit.
Dun-dun-dun. You Googled investigation.
Investigation synonym.
Wow.
You are nosy.
Yeah. Do you guys know what a metonym is?
No.
I learned it from Sarah Marshall.
What
she
is it?
She told me a metonym is like when someone says, who's the vodka soda? And then you go, I'm the vodka soda. It's you're not saying you're like the vodka soda. You're saying you are the thing. It's like.
Is it mena or meta?
A metonym.
I don't understand.
Yeah, with a T.
That makes sense.
It's like, who's the iced coffee? And then you're like.
You're putting yourself in.
You're the thing.
What meta is that you're.
Why did they bother to come up with a name for that?
Because what is that?
There's a name for almost everything. There's a name for the little.
Better think of something.
End of your drawstring. Drawstring.
An aglet.
Yep.
An aglet?
That's called an aglet.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. A metonym is a figure of speech in which a concept is referred to by the name of something closely associated with that thing or concept.
So that's not at all what you just described.
It is. It's like you're the thing, but it's, well, this here says referring to the president of the United States as the White House. It's like a person being like a thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. That one makes more sense to me. Okay, so I would now like to go to a subreddit entitled Scary Signs.
Okay.
You're already cackling. I was on this subreddit earlier.
It's just such a cute name for a subreddit. And it's basically people taking photos of signs that are scary. And this sign, it says, the mountains will be just as cold and lonely tonight as they were 200 years ago.
Oh my God.
Do not ski alone.
Okay, more upsetting is this little picture of this, I'm assuming man, who knows, under a tree with his ski poles.
And he's all alone because he skied alone.
And he's scared and he's like hugging his knees.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrifying.
I would argue because of global warming, it's not as cold.
True.
Well, some places are still cold.
Yeah, but as cold.
Yep. All right. Oh, as 200 years ago? That's a good point.
Do not ski alone. That's so terrifying. My boyfriend skis and he was telling me, he's like, oh, you don't want to get stuck in a tree well. And I was like, what the fuck is a tree well? You just get stuck in the middle of the trees with like a snow all around you and you die. Fall into a tree well.
I got stuck in my backyard as a kid.
In the snow?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrifying. They wouldn't find you till they thaw you out.
Well, no, my mom found me.
Okay. How old were you?
I don't know. I haven't told this story before.
No.
This is a classic A-Raz story. So I lived at a house that had a big hill and we were walking the dog that my dad later made us give away.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. And then I was like, oh, look, the hill is covered in ice. It would be fun for me to climb up this hill and then slide down it.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, you do you. I'm going inside. And so then I climbed my way up the whole backyard a hill and then I started to slide down it only to realize I was heading straight first into our jungle gym. And I thought that's not good. So then I decided to veer off to the right. But then when I veered off into the right, there was a bank into the woods and I slid down the bank into the woods and then I couldn't get out of there because that was covered in ice too.
Of course.
So I was trapped in my own backyard.
Oh God.
You didn't answer my question of how old you were.
I don't know. I was like 8. I have no idea.
How'd they get you out?
Because I mean, like, 8 is different than, like, 3, you know?
No. I was like, yeah. I was like, well, I don't think my mom would have let me do that at 3.
So you think Ruth was like, have fun.
I don't know what y'all do in your household.
But then I was, like, in the back trying to climb out, and I was stuck there. And my sister saw me through the window, saw that I was out there, and was like, oh, I guess she's playing. And didn't tell anybody. And then finally my mom came to find me, and I was trapped in the woods, and so she had to get a big stick and pull me out.
Wow.
This is scary.
Your mom went through a lot.
I know. My poor mother.
Yeah.
Great lady, though.
The best.
She's really been traumatized a lot by you specifically.
Wow.
Well, think she would agree. I think she would agree.
I think there's a tie.
Oh, wow.
All right. Another subreddit that I found is called Benign Existence, which I guess is just people sharing sort of just like their lives.
Yeah.
Like not the most exciting part of their life, but benign moments. But I would argue this is pretty intense. So the person writes, I have been misunderstanding my husband for our entire relationship.
No.
This is so adorable. It's not that sad. It's just like, it's just kind of funny. Sometimes when I say or do something my husband dislikes, he'll sharply exhale in my general direction as if he's unhappy with me and he must express it, but not in a way that will be upsetting to me.
Okay.
And that's okay. I've always sharply exhaled right back at him. And sometimes I even stick my tongue out at him like I'm 6 years old again. Then I usually grin and move on to whatever we'll be doing next. And soon enough, he follows. It does work the other way around as well, though not nearly as often.
Okay.
See, this is what we would do when I was little. In a conversation, someone would say or do something you didn't necessarily like, so you'd sharply exhale at them. It was a way to say, I don't agree with you in this moment, but I still love you very much, and I want you to be happy. So we're going to do what you want instead of what I want. Then the other person would exhale back, generally with a scrunched up face, to communicate, I'm sorry you don't really want to do this. It sure is appreciated you're joining me because I love you very much.
Okay.
These are really intense signals.
It makes sense, though.
And that was it. There was never any lingering negative feelings afterwards because they'd already been expressed and we were moving on.
Yeah.
My husband wanted extra cuddle time this morning. I did not. I told him I wanted to get up and drink coffee instead. He sharply exhaled at me. I did it right back. He looked at me, clearly a little hurt, and asked why I always did that. I countered with asking him why he did it first, and he clarified that he only does it when he's really struggling to breathe.
Oh, no!
God.
Folks, I felt and still feel like such a jerk. He does, in fact, struggle with breathing, especially first thing in the morning, but I never put two and two together before because sometimes I'm just that extremely dense. I clarified my side of things and told him that this whole time I thought we were communicating pleasantly. He asked me how the fuck was anyone supposed to know sharp exhales had meanings.
Wow.
Like, I don't know. I thought it was a thing everyone did. Apparently not. My side of the family, as I have learned since moving out, was just really freaking weird. This man has been thinking that I'm mocking him for near 14 years now.
No.
I don't even think I can ever apologize enough. At least for now, he's getting his extra cuddle time and is passed out for the time being. It's usually his job to make breakfast, but once he's up, I'm going to make him a spectacular meal. It won't magically fix things, but I'm probably going to be apologizing until we're 80.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's so wild. But also, like, makes so much sense to me that that kind of misunderstanding could happen.
Yeah, she's saying that his family was, like, mean to him or whatever, so he accepted mockery and like didn't think it was a big deal.
My question is, has he been around her? I would think so. In 14 years, been around her family,
yeah,
and noticed if they did it to each other.
Yeah, but maybe it's so subtle, or it's like, I don't know. I don't know if it's like,
yeah, or if it's it like, could just be like, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
I'm fascinated by like nonverbal communication,
yeah,
or like the ways that people like misread. Like, I feel like people misread stuff all the time.
Well, nonverbal communication is also like different culturally.
Mm-hmm.
And like some cultures rely more on nonverbal communication than other mm-hmm. cultures. And I feel like Americans rely on it like less than other cultures do. We like train more to just like say what we're thinking rather than like have more like subtle.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Canadians and English people like definitely have a bit more of like facial expression or, you know, making a noise, meaning something. It's also interesting because with me and Alex both being autistic, we'll make noises sometimes. And I always go like, what? And he's like, literally just making a noise.
I do make noises a lot too. But yeah. Also I'd say like in Black culture, like you can have a full conversation by just looking at each other.
Yeah.
I'd say in Black culture, it's very prominent.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe I misspoke in white American culture.
Well, also I think Jews do it too. Like Jews communicate with just like.
Yeah. I know. I a lot of people will say like nonverbal communication is like a major part of communication. Like yeah. Way more than we think that it is. Uh-huh.
Or people you've been around a lot, like me and I think me and my sister, if like my mom walked by and me and my sister looked at each other, we could be like, Like, yeah. You know, like we could.
Same.
But I think it's also like what you're communicating even while you're talking.
Yeah.
So it's not just like nonverbal. It's like the addition of the nonverbal while you're also speaking.
Yeah.
I think it's a part of it too.
Yeah.
This post made me think of a big miscommunication John and I had that came out in couples therapy, where I've always talked about how like no couple shares like the workload of like domesticity 50-50. Mm-hmm. Like it's never even, like chores are never even, like, and trying to like make it even, it like just like breeds resentment.
Yeah.
But he took that to mean that I always do more than 50%.
Oh.
But I just meant it's never 50-50. Like after my knee surgery, he was doing like 90%.
Yeah.
Like I meant it fluctuates between partners. Yeah. But he thought when I was saying that, that I meant that I was always doing
more.
You're
criticizing him.
Right. And so that came out and I was like, oh my God, that's not what I meant at all.
Yeah.
I meant it like when I'm more busy with work, you do more stuff. When you're more busy with work, I do more stuff. Like it goes back and forth. But like, thank God that came up, or like for the rest of our lives, he would have thought that I meant it in a bad way.
Yeah. You have to communicate in a relationship like down to the nitty gritty. Like you cannot assume anything, because it's similarly with Alex, similar stuff where I'll like think, oh, it must mean this. And he's like, what? No. It's been so revolutionary to see things not as I jump to they are, but as like the other person is telling me they are, and then believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
I know. John will also just sigh all the time. I'll be like, what's wrong? And I was like, nothing.
I do that too.
Just letting out air.
Just like the way sugar sighs all the time.
I sigh because it feels good to take a deep breath. Like it just feels good. And it's kind of like a reset for me.
Oh, that's interesting. That makes sense.
I saw in the comments someone talking about how sometimes like in bad relationships, people will like use these noises to keep you on eggshells.
Interesting. Or
like if your partner's just like, I mean, I've dealt with this. If your partner's just like, and then you're expected to be like, what's wrong? But if you don't, you're in big fucking trouble. Terrifying.
I've not been in relationships like
okay,
that.
Whatever.
I've seen relationships like that.
But it just like, I can't even, it just like breaks my heart. It must've been so terrible.
Oh, thanks. That's nice of you to say.
Yeah. It sounds awful. Could you ever feel relaxed around
them? No, there was a lot of nonverbal communication that was terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it was sort of like, well, why aren't you reading these things?
Was this like it from the beginning, or it like gradually became like, were you like afraid like the first month, or it became that?
I don't remember, because we were long distance. Definitely. Yeah. It was definitely like reading into a lot of stuff. Like I remember being in the car and I was like so scared because I wasn't really allowed to drive because I drove too fast. I would always kind of be the passenger. And if I was looking at my phone, it was like not okay, because I was ignoring them and they were bored and I was leaving them to be bored. If I wasn't looking at my phone, it was like, I'm expecting stuff from them while they're busy. If I was on my phone and I got a text, I had to be like, they're going to think I'm talking to like a love interest or something. So I have to say who it is. So like if someone would text me, I got so used to being like, it's my sister. Oh, I got a text. It's Allison. Like saying out loud, just because I was like, if I looked at my phone and answered a text message, it didn't say who it was. I could feel the like,
oh my God, gosh.
It's awful.
Yeah. Anyway, it's fine.
Well, I hope you never feel that way again. I do like to know who John's texting, but I think it's just because I'm so nosy.
Yeah. You're just nosy.
Yeah. Like I'm not going to be upset regardless of who he's texting. I just like to know what's up.
Yeah. What if he's like, it's Gabe.
Well, sometimes it is.
Yeah. You're in the group. You're in our group chat. So,
but sometimes I feel like you guys chat. But just the two of you?
Separately. He does send me weird videos of you and says, put this on AllisonRaskinExposed.com.
Oh my gosh.
So he did say that.
Yeah, I guess I'm just so nosy. Like I always like want to know what he's doing. It's probably so annoying for him. Like he was just like on his computer the other day and I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, I'm doing internet stuff. And I was like, but what?
I would be annoyed.
I would kill you. I would kill you.
Sometimes I'm just on the internet. I don't know what part, like I just snap back in and I'm like, I don't know how I got here, you know?
But it was clear that he was doing something. And so I didn't understand why he wouldn't just tell me what he was doing.
But sometimes it's embarrassing or it's not worth explaining. Like yes. I was hanging out with Sarah and we were like in my room and I opened my computer to show her something. And the first thing that popped up was a Reddit page that was like, which celebrity deaths do you find the most suspicious?
But that's like anyone who knows you reading would assume like, that was what you'd be looking at.
I guess so. And then I was like, oh, sorry. I've been reading this for days.
Which celebrity death do you find the most suspicious?
Well, here's what's annoying, Reddit, if you're listening.
Well, this is a Reddit show.
I know, is that people would go, well, not a celebrity, but this local TV anchor. And I'd be like, no.
That's not allowed.
I don't want that. I want celebrity. Or they'd be like, oh, not a celebrity, but a guy in my town. No.
That means that the people that are running that subreddit aren't doing a very good job.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I would kick them out.
Exactly. You're not you're not answering the question.
Right.
Don't not answer the question.
Because then when you start kicking people out, then people start following the rules. That's why you have to do things.
I'm so afraid of you.
There was please one don't be that it. I didn't.
There's people that I do want to be afraid of me, and you are not one of them.
That's nice. Well, that's am, though.
Yeah.
Middling. That's fine. I understand. I get it.
There's just, you know, some like tough love. You need it.
I would argue a weather person would count as a celebrity if you're on TV.
Local.
But they're a local celebrity. That's different to me than just somebody in my town.
Then they need to post it in their local,
local subreddit.
Suspicious celebrity.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
If it's not a celebrity to the vast majority, then they're not a celebrity.
Don't tell Gabe that, because Gabe thinks that they're a celebrity.
I'm a gay celebrity.
Yeah, that is also, in gay culture, Gabe is a celebrity.
Yeah, gay famous.
Hey y'all, have you ever had those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure it out? You know, I've definitely had my fair share, and I totally get how frustrating it can be. Recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It also could be my hormones at play. And see, that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. All you have to do is answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you are in life. And you know what? The best part is, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the quiz and I went through and I answered questions about my mood and how much sleeping I was getting and if I was having any mood swings or if I was feeling bloated or anything. And the results provided me with so much insight. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. So by taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and how you can make small, intentional changes to support your body. Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz really helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer for your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with our code JustBetweenUs at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code JustBetweenUs for 15% off today.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/Ross Patterson or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/Ross Patterson.
Someone DM'd us, a fan actually, and said, in our legal advice, most of the people responding are cops.
Really?
Yeah. This person was like, hey, you guys should know that, like, with our legal advice, if somebody comments and is like, hey, this is not, like, this is illegal, whatever, like, they're, like, fishing for, like, what are people doing that's illegal?
Really?
Like, they'll be like, what's like, hey, can, am I able to do this? Like, is it illegal if I do this? And then like cops will like troll it to be like, what are the ways people are getting around laws and stuff?
I hate the cops.
Yeah. So anyway, someone just DM'd us on, DM'd us to say that our legal advice is mostly the police.
Fuck the popos.
Yeah.
Okay. My next post that I'd love to share is from the subreddit Delta.
It's Be Real. Wow, this is a really good one, you guys. This is a really good one. And if you follow me on Patreon at patreon.com/gaybestdone, you can see my Be Reels.
And if you follow on patreon.com/JBU, you can see it live.
Yeah, yeah. Just between us pod, you can see me live taking the Be Real that then will go up on my...
I thought it was patreon.com/justbetweenus.
Just between, is it just between
us? I think it's just between us.
It's just between us. Sorry. Oh yeah. My God.
Phew. Okay. So I at first I was worried that this Delta subreddit was like by Delta. And I was like, I don't really care. But it's people complaining about Delta, which is much better.
Yeah. That's like the DoorDash one is people complaining about DoorDash.
Right. Okay. So this is labeled discussion. And I think that we might get heated about this, which is my intention.
Okay.
Lady insisted I switch window seat for her middle seat instead of her husband's window seat.
What?
Delta flight attendant backed her up.
What?
Mm-mm. I know this sub gets saturated with seat switching stories, but I think I just experienced the worst one I've ever heard of. I booked a window seat months ahead of time for a flight for work, as I get severe nausea if I can't look out the window on a flight. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting next to two kids who appear to be around 12 to 14 years old. Their mother appears and directs me to move to her seat so she can sit next to her kids. She didn't ask me to switch. She told me I would be moving.
Oh, God.
I looked at where her seat is, and it's a middle seat in the second to last row.
No.
Her husband is sitting in the window seat in that same row. I tell her that I make a point of booking a window seat over the wing to help with my nausea, but I understand wanting to sit next to your kids so I can switch seats with her husband for his window seat, even though there's more movement in the back of the plane. She responds, I shit you not, don't bring my husband into this. This about needing to sit next to my kids.
Okay, she hates her husband.
Or the husband doesn't want to be a father.
Yeah.
We went back and forth a bit where I kept pointing out that her own husband wasn't willing to take a middle seat to allow her to sit next to her kids. Again and again, she kept saying, don't bring my husband into this.
Oh my God.
It went nowhere. So I told her that I was sorry. I wasn't, but I wasn't moving. She responded by calling me a child. The thing that irritated me the most is that she called the flight attendant, who then took her side. Even after I offered one final time to change seats with the husband and the lady refusing that offer. The flight attendant also directed, again, not asked, but told me to move and exchange seats with this woman. I again said no, put my headphones in, and turned the music up.
Hell yeah.
After a bit, the lady called me a selfish asshole and took her seat. The flight attendant also went back to her other duties.
Wow, this is such a bad example to the children.
Right? It's been 8 hours since we landed, and I can't stop thinking about the audacity it takes to insist a total stranger switch to a middle seat to allow a family to fly together when her own husband refused to take that same downgrade. I hope this doesn't affect me on future Delta flights.
Edit, it's been pointed out to me I should make a clarification. The flight attendant wasn't insistent that I move seats, though she did say, sir, just move seats with her, or something akin to that more than once. Oh, interesting.
This is so wild, and also I feel like really exposes like bad dad culture.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like everything is on the mother to do, and it's like as if the father isn't even a parent.
But these kids are of age where they can stay home by themselves, so I don't feel like they needed their mother next to them anyway.
Yeah, they can sit sit by themselves.
So you think that the husband was saying you don't need to sit next to them?
I don't know if that was it, but I just don't know why she had to sit by them.
Right. But I think there's a lot of issues going on.
And
yeah,
this makes me so mad.
I would have been so, I'm like, I've got like my blood boiled reading
it. Oh, because yeah. I do the same thing. I always book over the wing next to the window.
For nausea?
Yep.
Oh.
And I read somewhere that that's usually the most, I don't know if it's true, but ever since then I've done it and I don't go anywhere else. And so when I was coming back from Dominican Republic, this woman was sitting in my seat. And I was like, that's my seat. And I kept insisting and I showed her my thing. And she's like, no, this is my seat. I'm like, it literally says right here that this is my seat. I know that that's my seat. I know what I booked. arguing with me. And then
did she show you her ticket?
And then her husband goes, can I see your ticket to the wife? And he looks at it and just goes, yeah. And then she kept arguing with me. And then finally,
he said, yeah, in terms of what? That she had the wrong seat?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And then finally, she moved after I just was insistent. Like, I wasn't backing down.
So was she meant to be, like, the aisle, but she was in the window? Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yep. And I also like to have control of the window shade.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I do not pee on planes, no matter how long the flight is.
What?
And so I like to be on the inside so then people aren't crawling over me.
You don't pee on planes?
Yeah. I'd rather get whatever something messed up than to use a airplane bathroom.
I just consider myself totally contaminated on an airplane. So as long as I can completely clean myself and everything that was on the airplane and touch the airplane, then I'm okay. But so I will pee on an airplane.
This is a mental illness podcast.
No shit.
Yeah, duh. I was working on my TikTok bio and like finagling it. And then I was thinking about that. I wanted it to say, I could it possibly, but you know, with Olive Garden, it's like, if you're here, you're family. Uh-huh. Where I'd be like, if you're here, you're crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mine is assigned annoying at birth, which I feel like really sums up the whole situation.
Did you come up with that term?
Yeah.
I think that's very clever.
It is.
Assigned annoying at birth.
Yeah, it was so clever. I wondered if it was like a saying that people said.
No.
That's nice. Great.
Good job. Oh,
thanks. Talk about this actually, because I found a really fun subreddit, not fun but smart subreddit, called Not a Drag Queen, where it's basically like it chronicles all the things that are like abuse against children, mm-hmm. grooming, everything like that that's happening that are not being done by a drag queen.
Yeah. I've seen an Instagram or TikTok like this account like this.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, former mega church pastor imprisoned in drug smuggling, Florida youth pastor and softball coach arrested for sexual conduct with minors, like Wisconsin firefighter no longer employed after child abuse arrest, like all these things where it's like, you guys think that drag queens and gay people are doing all this stuff. And here's like a full list of mostly, I will say, pastors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people in religion that are doing stuff against children.
Yep.
Cops, a lot of cops, a lot of coaches, like people that you are like, oh yeah, they can go near my kid. But no, but somehow not a drag queen. Interesting. Curious. So I found a thing here that was who's making news, tracking who is really committing crimes against children. And it's a website called whoismakingnews.com. It's by this person, Kristen Brody. And it's a site that goes with her TikTok series, Who's Making News for Sex Crimes Against Children. And it's just religious employees 350, transgender 3, drag queen 0.
I'm surprised it's even 3 for transgender.
And that's like among, you know, thousands and thousands of, here's the data from 2,839 cases.
Wow.
So who are we really, who should we really be regulating? So I think that's a very great use of Reddit.
I think so too. Is it time for Reddit or not?
It is.
I'll go. Deadly spatulas.
Mm. Oh. I've been hit on the bottom with a spatula.
Really?
In a sexual way.
I figured.
Yep.
Be weirder if it wasn't.
Well, I don't know.
Parents, it could have been a spanking stuff. You know.
Yeah.
Was it metal or plastic?
Like the silicone ones?
Oh yeah.
Okay, here's one. Cleaning tips.
Ooh.
Forgot to run the dishwasher for a few days and my wooden spatula got moldy. Is it salvageable or dangerous to use?
Disgusting. It is dangerous because the pores get in. Wood is porous.
Absolutely toss it.
Yes.
So I think like that's another way that a spatula could kill you.
Oh, so that's interesting. That is a dangerous spatula.
Yeah, but it's a spoon though, not a spatula.
Well, this one says a wooden spatula. This one said, plastic spatula, could it poison me?
People are pretty worried about their spatulas. Yeah.
So actually, spatulas could, if they're melted, it's like, are plastic, if it's melt, they're saying, would you melted a bit of plastic spatula on my pan? Is it okay? Do I have to clean it?
Someone said, if you needed to kill someone with a spatula in a restaurant, how would you kill them?
What's it say?
With a spatula in a restaurant, it's my MO. I don't...
Oh, like they're like, that's what I do.
And then somebody said MO and they said mortal enemy. Wouldn't it be ME? I don't know. TBH, LOL.
What? Oh, made God. No sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, does anyone give it a way they would kill?
Use it to make an undercooked burger.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Break the tip of the spatula so there's a sharp piece protruding and use it as a shank.
Uh-huh. Stick it in my ass.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Sear it in oil first.
Wow. This came with more results than I was expecting.
And you came up with it very fast.
Thank you.
Did something happen?
No.
Okay.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. We will be back on Wednesday with a full episode of Just Between Us. And if you want to listen to the whole thing, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/justbetweenus. And if you're not able to subscribe at the moment, we'll be back on Monday with a full episode of Too Long Did Read It.
I'm so sorry. I found a picture of, you guys are going to die. It's someone making burgers while camping, but they didn't have a spatula and they put a stick through a
beer can
soda, beer, a beer can.
Oh, gross.
I want to take a moment to thank our patrons, Cassandra, Jada, Shelby, Callie, and Addie.
Thank you all so much for subscribing. It means the world to us.
Yeah, baby.
Bye.
Bye. Just Between Us is a Gallison production, hosted by me, Allison Raskin.
And me, Gabe Dunn.
Produced by Melissa D. Montz and Diamond Imprint Productions.
Edited by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.
Brendan Burns composed our killer theme music.
Join our Patreon to watch full episodes and listen ad-free. The link is in the description.
And make sure to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Discord, and Reddit.
Hi everyone, it's Allison here to announce that I have officially opened a relationship coaching business. That's right, I now am seeing individuals and couples for sessions where we work through our relationship issues, our thoughts around dating, how to better communicate with our partners, all with a real mental health focused framing. So if you're interested in booking a session or learning more, please go to my website, allisonraskin.com/coaching, or email me at raskincoaching@gmail.com.